Put it mildly, this has been a strange Lent. I don't know if you've seen any of the Facebook memes going around concerning the connection of the pandemic to Lent, but here's a couple that I read. One of them said, "This is the Lentiest Lent I've ever Lented." And another, "I wasn't planning on giving up this much for Lent." The implication, of course, being that much has been taken away from us. School is different, travel plans canceled, our worship is different, no eating out, no going to the parks, etc., etc. It seems like Lent might be an appropriate season to endure such a crisis. And then in breaks Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, that point in time in history where everything changed. And yet, as we look around our world today, it doesn't look like much has changed between Lent and now, but perhaps we are looking at things the wrong way. Perhaps we should try to look at this time through the eyes of the angel at the empty tomb. I actually think Easter is an appropriate season in which to endure all that's been going on, this pandemic, the restrictions on our freedoms, which we hold so dear. Because it puts into perspective for us what Easter really is. It is, of course, a triumphant celebration for the church, but it is always muted, muted by a world so bent on downplaying it, on turning it into just another commercial holiday or a celebration just of spring or whatever the world thinks about Easter. But consider this Easter. The Easter egg hunts are canceled. There's no breakfast in the narthex this morning. The stores are closed, many of which we might buy new Easter clothes from. Easter gatherings are put on hold. A lot of that other stuff that the world thinks makes Easter Easter is nowhere to be found. And yet, it is still the day of our Lord's resurrection, even if it doesn't feel that way. We still hear the words of the angel at the empty tomb echoing down through the centuries into our own ears. "He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." Today we want to consider what the eyes of the Easter angel saw at the empty tomb of Jesus. Now the guards at the tomb were so frightened by the sight of this angel. Matthew tells us that they became like dead men. And the women who came that morning were no doubt confused, alarmed, confused by the fact that the stone had been rolled away and the body of Jesus was nowhere to be found, alarmed by the sight of this angel. Angels of the Lord are scary. Despite what you see in figurines and artistic descriptions and depictions, God's angels usually appear as majestic creatures who strike fear into the heart of all those who see them. That's why the first words out of the mouths of an angel is usually, "Don't be afraid." The women heard those same words, and they didn't need to fear this angel since he had come in peace to be the bearer of good news. The word we translate as angel really means messenger. So, bringing the gospel is the main job of the angels and this particular angel. He announces that they don't need to fear what happened to the body of Jesus. The angel says, "I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." The angel directs the women to look with their own eyes to see that the body isn't there. And then he explains what his eyes have witnessed. He knows they are looking for Jesus who was crucified, or another way we might say this, they are looking for Jesus, the crucified one. And it's important that the angel refers to Jesus in that way. The women had looked upon Jesus suffering on the cross, they had seen the crucified body of their Lord, they had looked on as Joseph of Arimathea had Jesus buried in his tomb, but that's all that they had seen. The angel, however, had seen the resurrected Lord with his own eyes, and yet he still calls him the crucified one. You might be saying to yourself, Pastor, this is Easter. Why are we still so focused on the crucifixion? Well, it's because the cross must always be at the center of our theology. It is the focal point of the Christian life. A God who has not been crucified on your behalf does you no good. Look through the angel's eyes and see that the risen Lord is the crucified one, put to death for your sins. The cross is our tree of life. St. Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And later, far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Of course, the resurrection is necessary too. You also need to see through the angel's eyes that Jesus was raised on Easter for your justification. Good Friday and Easter are like two sides of the same coin. I'm told you can't buy anything with a one-sided quarter. Jesus couldn't pay for your salvation only by dying or only by living, but by both. He had to actively obey God's law on your behalf. He had to passively suffer your sins against that law. He had to actively fight Satan, who you and I are unable to defeat. He had to die for all the times that you and I have fallen into Satan's lies and temptations. He had to go to the grave and deposit all your sins there. He had to endure the wrath of God on our behalf. And he had to come out alive in order to grant you forgiveness of sins and to give you the gift of your own resurrection. All of this is included in the message of that angel at the empty tomb, the message for the women at the first Easter, and for us today. Now, angels are always before the throne of God. They continually have the privilege of seeing God with their own eyes. And what is it that they see? In the book of Revelation, John is given a glimpse into heaven. He sees the throne room. He sees the angels. He sees the worship taking place in heaven. And as he peers into heaven, his gaze is directed to the throne, and he describes what he sees like this. I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slaughtered. Slaughtered lamb. That is our God. But not just a slaughtered lamb who is standing, alive, bearing the marks of his crucifixion, yet wholly restored to life. John sees the crucified and risen one. And Isaiah tells us what the angels sing in heaven as they look upon the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And we will join the angels in that song as we join our voices with theirs in the Sanctus before the Lord's Supper. After his resurrection, Jesus continues the pattern established on the first Easter by not always allowing himself to be seen by the disciples and by others, and using others to proclaim his death and resurrection. You and I are like the women at the tomb. We cannot see Jesus necessarily with our own eyes, but the reliable testimony of the Easter angel, as recorded in Scripture, comes to us to tell us what happened. Though Jesus remains hidden from our physical sight, he has continued to send angels to us ever since to declare his resurrection for us. I'm not talking about angels from heaven, but earthly angels, angels who proclaim the gospel. Remember, angel means messenger. And in the Bible, angel doesn't necessarily always imply a heavenly being. The very human and mortal John the Baptist, for example, is called God's angel or messenger. And so after his resurrection, Jesus sent out his apostles to be his angels, to be his messengers. Messengers to preach the gospel of the forgiveness of sins and the death and resurrection of Jesus. And everywhere they went, those angel apostles appointed pastors and teachers to continue sharing the good news of Good Friday and Easter. As the heavenly angel Gabriel visited Mary with the wonderful news that the Lord would be incarnated, be born in the flesh, now earthly angels or messengers proclaim to all who believe and are baptized that the Lord is with them even now, that he is with us to the very end of the age. Just as the angel of the Lord brought glad tidings of great joy for all people to the shepherds at Christmas, now earthly angels proclaim the glad tidings of great joy that Christ has died for all, for the sin of the whole world, and has risen to declare all people righteous so that they may be saved by believing this message. And today you receive this word of Christ through the messenger he has called to preach to you here at Victory in Christ. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Baptized into his death and resurrection, you are now clothed with his righteousness, which grants eternal salvation. And recognize that Jesus comes today in the Lord's Supper to feed us with his very body and blood hidden under the bread and wine. We don't see Jesus with us in the same way that the women did when Jesus appeared to them, but we see him through the eyes of faith. After communion, we will sing these words, "Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." But before that, we look under the bread and wine and worship Christ through angel eyes as we gather with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven around Christ's glorious throne. We gather here where he has promised to be with us, to forgive us, to feed us. On Easter, the angel told the women where they could find Jesus, and likewise today, I have the same privilege of telling you where you can find him. He has promised that you may find him in his word and in his sacraments. May your eyes always stay fixed on Jesus Christ, crucified for your sin and raised for your justification. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.